independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
So, ABC, and pretty much everybody right now is reporting that Attorney General Sessions offered to resign. He and Trump are not having a good relationship. Trump's been pissed with him since he decided to recuse himself in this whole Russia investigation. And it's time you get your house in order. It's time you get your house in order because you're starting to look like a joke. Gonna be honest. You can't praise without criticizing at the same time. Meaning I can't sit here. I'm not one of these talking heads here. Too many of these guys and gals, mostly guys, that sit here in the job that I do, and they will over and over again talk the president up. This is becoming a joke. It really is. I mean, you've got, even today, just here's a little something. Even Sean Spicer was in the same old spot. He looked pissed. He looked angry. He looked fed up. It's becoming an absolute joke. You need to get control. If I was him, and I'm not, but here's the thing. I don't even know if you can at this point in time. I think he's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do, which has served him fine. But I think he's going to go and do all the things that he wants to do based on how he feels and what he thinks should be done. And throw caution into the wind. And if it works, fine. And if not, I'll go back to being a billionaire. Now you got Sessions ready to step away, apparently. Offered up his resignation. They're not in a good way. Sessions apparently was told by Comey, I don't want to be in the same room with this guy alone. You know? It's something new every day. Something new every day that comes out that they can't keep it in-house. And I said when he started, look, everybody that's going to work with him, minus a very close few people, mostly his kids, are going to be in a situation where you're on borrowed time. The same day you're hired, you should have a resignation letter in your other hand because at some you're not making it 4 years. You're not. You're not going to make it 4 years. And I don't know who has his ear. I don't know who he pays attention to. I don't know who he listens to. I don't know who this president can get to, you know, somebody who can get to him and say, look, you've got to now circle the wagons and let's start doing things the right way. You're still barely in this game. And yet at the same time, you are... You know, whether it's the travel ban, which, by the way, I'm sure yesterday was like, what? You know, here's a guy, right, who says he's got 130 quadrillion followers who goes out and knows that his words have been used against him. His own Department of Justice saying it's not a ban. It is a pause. And he goes, call it what you want, travel ban. I'm pissed off that they went back to the old they didn't go back to the old one, the one that was real. Now instead they go and they used up this weenied one, this watered down, you know, version of it. And it's a ban. That's what it is. It's a ban. You just shot yourself in the foot. You're making it harder for your own people to do their job. All the while, America and the people who put you there are wondering, where's tax reform? Some of that's on the Republicans and the Democrats. Repeal and replace, which is going to be repeal and put the same thing in, just call it something different, and not a lot's going to change. But that's too long. That's too worded. Right? Where's all these things that you said? Where's the job? Where's all of that? And now you've already lost Flynn because he was a clown. You got your communications director bouncing out, right? Now Sessions, by the way, a person who backed you all the way. He's ready to go, hey, here, take my resignation. It's time you figured out what you got to do to set this thing right. And I don't know who you can get to listen to. At this point in time, I don't know who you can get. Because I don't think you'll listen to anybody. I don't. I don't think you're going to listen to anybody. And has it worked in the past? It absolutely has worked in the past. But past performance is not indicative of the future. There you go. Past performance. They'll tell you that. You ever read a prospectus when you're going to go do investing? What does it say? Yeah, we've made 12%, then 22%, then 18%, then 16%. And then it'll say past performance is not indicative of future gains. What worked yesterday may not work today. And people are starting to look at you. I'm starting to look at you. You know, when I was first getting, you know, when Trump came out, I said, look, he's interesting. And I like interesting. And then he became president. And along the way, I told everybody, look, I want him over Hillary, but I wasn't a fan of his. And I didn't, you know, I mean, and I said, I went for Kasich. I thought Kasich was, you know, while boring, I thought he was somebody that had a vision of more of what I saw. And all along the way, I would get people who were pissed and angry and say horrible things about me. And I talked to my other talk show hosts who dare question it. But you know what? Over the last several weeks, they've questioned more and more, and the loud voices against him have quieted down quite a bit. Like I said, he was interesting. He was interesting. I didn't think I was going to get this far. He was interesting. I wanted him more than Hillary, but that was my choice. I want him to be successful. I think he's got good ideas. I think he can be successful. But like a lot of people in life, sometimes they're their own worst enemy. And he doesn't understand the political world. And that is showing. That is showing big time. And you know what else this does? This makes it harder for other people who aren't in the world of politics, who may one day want to get into the world of politics. And you know we're going to say, nah, we tried that. And it didn't work. We want somebody who's a career person. We tried that. We tried that. No. I don't know who can get his ear, but I'll tell you what right now. If Sessions was to step away, and if this is true, and they'll deny it all day, but there's just too much crap. You got to find somebody that's able to calm this down. I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know who he or she is. People today say, Newt Gingrich. No, I don't think he and Newt. I think Newt felt he got played by Trump. And I don't know if they're best pals. But you need somebody who understands that city. You do. You've got people who work for you who look disgruntled, who look upset, who are confused, who give three different answers. At some point in time, it's time to act adult. It is. It really is. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chris and Indy, what's happening?
Yeah, so, you know, I was going to say, too, I'm like you. I mean, he's got to find somebody who he can, you know, confide in, that he's willing to, you know, have an open mind with. Because, you know, when you're successful like Trump, of course, you know, I'm sure, you know, he doesn't like to listen to many people. You know, because he has been so successful. But then again, if you really think about it, you know, he's surrounded himself with very good people, you know, in the past. And, you know, when I look at it now, I think he's frustrated to the point that if things get much worse, you could see Donald Trump at the end of his first term actually say, I will not seek re-election.
Oh, I don't think he's going to seek re-election, man. I got to be honest with you, Chris. I appreciate your call. I don't think he's going to seek re-election. I don't. I do not think he's going to seek re-election unless he's got this economy humming. But here's another thing. At some point in time, that the Republicans are going to say, I don't want to go down with the ship. And they're going to be his biggest roadblock. 844-DIG-CHAD. Switch gears really quick. Scott and Indy, you want to talk about Islam and Muhammad?
Chad, love your show, by the way. And I have to disagree with you on the – I think he's going to pull things together. Just give him a little time. But on Muhammad, I wanted to make it clear. he was a really bad guy in terms of the wars he waged. And one time, Gryra, back in the 6th century, he ended up murdering 850 to 950, it depends on what historical reference you look at, Jews who surrendered en masse to him. It was men, women, and children. And the second thing I want to point out, this is a guy who was 53 years old, okay, 53 years old. He ended up, well, 50 years old, he was courting a four-year-old girl, Hazrat Aisha. He married her at 53 and consummated their relationship when she was 9 years old. That is to say he raped her as his wife, because a kid can't give consent at 9 years old. And that was
well, I know terrible. That. Let me tell you something. Okay, first of all, you're talking about here's the thing, all right? Margaret Nidell may be the best person that knows. She knows this thing called understanding Arabs, right? She said Muhammad fought in fewer than 10 battles in his lifetime, resulting in barely 1,000 casualties based on both sides. So that's one thing. Secondly, we know who his wife was. We don't know how exactly old. They say between 9 and 16 is when they were married. I tend to believe you right around 9. But as I said earlier, hey, you know what? Delaware used to have the age of consent at 7. So, I mean, times have changed. It was horrible. We look at it. We're appalled. We're disgusted. Yeah, we should be. We absolutely 100% should be. But there's a lot of things where I think people are – they blame a lot of things on people. I appreciate your call, man. We got to jump. And you know what? Here's a perfect example. Westerns, right? You look at all the great legends of all these great gunfighters. Then you find out that 99% of it's all a bunch of crap and none of it was real. It's he said, she said, hearsay. People wrote stuff. There were battles. He was in them. But how much did he play a part? That's a good question. That really is. Hey, you're home. You love it. You lock it up at night. You go to sleep. You think, oh, cool. Then we're going to be fine, right? Nobody's going to get into our house. You do realize that between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. every day is when most burglaries, home invasion robberies happen. You're not there. Kids are at school, which is great, but house is empty. What do you do? Well, if you're smart, you're going to go out and you're going to find a great company that's going to help protect your home, but you don't want long-term contracts, so that eliminates 99.99% of them. You don't want hidden fees, that eliminates that. I don't want all kinds of crazy stuff that I got to learn and the walls and the whole nine yards. No, I don't. You got to put all that stuff in. Well, that leaves only one, SimpliSafe Home Security. It's a complete wireless system that's easy to install. You can build an arsenal, right, an arsenal for your protection. Think about this. Entry sensors. Boom. Glass break sensors, high-definition security camera. You order today. It's there by Saturday. Within an hour, you've set it up. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees, less than $15 a month, round-the-clock professional monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/Benson. Get a special 10% discount off your home security system when you order today. That's simplysafe.com/Benson for 10% off. simplysafe.com/Benson. Do it today. You'll have it by Saturday. You'll have it set up. By the evening, you'll sleep better. SimpliSafe.com/Benson. Chad Benson Show.
Serving up talk radio medium rare and dripping with irony, it's Chad Benson.
People texting in, some people say, you're wrong about Trump. Where? I'm curious. How am I wrong? There is, and people saying, it's all a lie. Everything's a lie. If you don't want it to be true, it's a lie. Not everything in the world's a lie. Some of it, there's truth there, kids. Right? There is. I don't know what he's doing, and I don't think anybody else does. That's fine. He's the president. Knock himself out. I want him to be successful. Don't take my criticism as somebody who wants him to fail, because I don't. But some of you will. I want him to succeed. But you know what? I want all of my presidents to succeed. And if you want your president to fail, like I say, you are doing yourself, you're doing our country a disservice. You shouldn't want that. Saying that, I look, it's a giant mess. People say, well, he's been successful. Politics are two different things. He was it. He was the king. What he said went, and that's it. He empowered people to do stuff, but they only had to answer to him. He's got people around him now. They have to answer to him, but they also have to answer to the American people. And that's a much different thing. He needs to start figuring things out, and it needs to be smoother. It does. I'm all for a little chaos. I'm all for a little uncomfortability when it comes to some of this stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. I think you need that in business. You do it. Zero wrong with that. But this is looking like, you know, get your head out of your ass situation. Eric, what's happening, man? Oh, we lost Eric. All right, solid, Eric. We're sorry about that. Producer Phil's going to be fired as soon as this is over. We know you got something to say. Producer Phil did not want you to hear it because he is a person who hates freedom of speech.
I got fat fingers.
Who's the next? Fat Finger. Name of my band, Fat. Is there a band called Fat Fingers? Or is it Tiny Fingers? Is it Little Fingers? Ah, I don't even know. Lots of fingers. I just, look. This world is politically divided as is. And we need more people who have calmer, cooler heads out there who can talk and discuss stuff. And there's too much 24/7 news craziness that goes on out there. And it can be crazy at times. But you cannot sit here and say that this is the smoothest thing. If you're honest with yourself, there's been more than a few hiccups, and many of them are self-inflicted wounds. I still think his presidency has a chance of becoming... I think he's got a chance of becoming something incredible. But at the same time, just this is my feeling with Trump. He's either going to be amazing or he's going to be a giant bust. He's either Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf. He's either a first ballot Hall of Famer or he's out of the league within 4 years. And everybody goes, well, that was a bust. I don't think there's an in-between with him. And I want him to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's your kid. Going to play some soccer. Oh, no, says other parents. Huh? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I played soccer at a high level. They were fortunate enough to go to Europe and try my hand at playing professionally over there when I was younger. Played the highest level of club soccer here in the States. Parents can be weird. That's for sure. They can be odd. They can be uber competitive. We've talked about that at nauseum here. But this is something totally... Some people say this is new. It's not new, but it's coming out to the forefront because I don't think people realize how competitive and crazy parents can be. You've got this little girl. Her name is Millie Hernandez, 8 years old, Nebraska, playing under-11 soccer with her girls' team. She has short hair. She played in the tournament, got through the semifinals, get ready to play. They told her, you guys can't play. You've been disqualified because the other teams complained about her. They believe she's a boy. People are like, oh, my God, that's it. Let me tell you about some of the stuff that I went through as a kid. And I think many of you out there, you've probably played some sports at a competitive level. You know what parents and coaches are willing to do to get a victory. So you can understand in some ways why kids and parents may feel certain ways.
Over the weekend.
It's because Millie Hernandez has short hair. She says that is what led tournament officials to believe she was a boy. Boys are not allowed to play on the girls' team, but when Millie's coach tried telling officials she was in fact a girl, she and her entire team were disqualified.
So you got this, you know, here it is, right? They're disqualified. She plays on her little team. By the way, she's playing in an under 11, which means she's got 11, 10 and 9-year-olds. She's 8 years old. So her team's playing they're younger. They're playing in an upper division and they've wandered through. People are like, oh my God, that's what. Now I'm going to say this and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm being real and I'm being honest. The picture that's up in front of me right now, if you were to ask me if that's a boy or a girl, remember, they're eight. I would say, I might say it's a boy. Short hair. She says she likes her hair short, especially in the summer. I got no problem with it. I don't. But if just on glance, you may say that. Remember, when they're 6, 7, and 8 years old, you're not blossoming, if you will. And so they all kind of look the same, boys and girls at that age, right? They're just sticks, right? Jack's a beanpole. That's it. I see his little friends. I'll go over, little girls at school. They're all beanpoles. They look the exact same, except you could tell she's got long hair. She's wearing a dress, probably a girl. I say probably. This is Millie speaking about the situation.
And my brother, he said it's only because of the looks. Like, when they look at me, they think I'm a boy, but I'm really not.
And we had we had her insurance card, and then we had a paper from when she was 5. And it said that female on both of them.
They shouldn't be ignoring them for trying to, like, show them proof that she's a girl.
But what's the paper at 5? I'm trying to figure that out. The paper at 5. So when I played competitively, and I told Anthony this, because Anthony said, well, he didn't really play like that, so he didn't know. I played, and one time, our coaches, unbeknownst to us, other kids, had an older boy on the team that we did not know was older. He was only older by like 7 or 8 months. He missed the cutoff. He didn't really make a big difference, but his brother played on our team, and that's why his brother wanted him, and his brother was our best player by far. And so we were ended up getting caught, and we lost all of our games. We had to forfeit. We didn't even know about it. Got to the point where you had to bring your birth certificates and stuff to the tournaments to show people. And I told Anthony, I said, when I was younger, we would play teams that you found out later on, we're 15 and 14. We're playing men. They're lying about their ages. They're 21, 22 years old. It's insane. People were willing to do this. Now, with Millie, it's a much different scenario. You've got an 8-year little girl. What are you supposed to do? Now, would I put it past people to try something? No, I would not. But what are you supposed to do? Are they going to have some sort of sex test, right, where you go in and everybody's got to strip down so they have some nurse or doctor come through to make sure everybody's got the matching things, if you will, for the corresponding sporting event that you're supposed to be in the competing? Now, she's been hailed a hero because that's what we do nowadays.
And how about this? The story caught the attention of soccer legend Mia Hamm. She tweeted, "Hey, Millie, we would love to host you at one of our camps at Team First Soccer Academy. Be you."
Be you. Other people tweeted out, "Be who you are. I've won with short hair." That's from Abby Wambach. It's a tough thing, but this, you know what it is? It just made me remind. It's like, I understand the insanity of it all. My little brother is special needs. Spencey, right? He's got a trach. He's got a G-tube. Every year we play in this tournament in Southern California that all the special needs groups get together. And it's, and you know, for our group, if where we play, we only have like 5 teams, right? So we have like maybe 100 players, and they range in age from 3, 4, and 5 all the way up to like 35, 40 years old. So once you play special needs soccer, you can always play. So every year what we do is we'll take a group, you know, like 4 or 5 players from each team, whoever wants to go, could be as many as they want, but usually we get like 8 or 10 to decide on that Saturday. They want to travel down, and we all go down there and we play other special needs teams, and we get to meet and they talk about what goes on in their, you know, at their, you know, facilities and how they train, and it's fun. But a couple years ago, people complained about my brother in a wheelchair with a trach and a G-tube. Parents complained to the referee, like there should even be a referee for this, that he shouldn't be allowed to play goalie because he's got a wheelchair. And I'm like, are you kidding me? First of all, everybody scores. But that's the parents' thing. That's the craziness of it all, that they're willing to go and do something like that. They'll complain even in a special needs soccer game where there is no score being kept, where nobody is a winner or loser as far as who gets what. Everybody gets a little trophy thingy at the end or a little medal to show that you came. And that's what it is. I was like, are you kidding me? And by the way, it pissed my mother off. You have no idea. My mother then tells Dakota, my other little brother, You don't let any of them score. You take the ball away from them, and nobody gets by you. And Dakota just was laying kids. I was just like, this is special needs soccer. I can't even do this anymore. 844-TIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. It just makes you scratch your head. Jobs, how important are they? Very important. Are kids doing them like they used to? No. Why is that? Because we've now convinced children that you have to get into the best college in the world, and by doing so, it's no longer important to get life skills that really, I think, are more important. You must build a resume when it comes to your extracurricular activities. So when you go and you apply with your 4.9685 GPA, people will look and go, wow, not only has this person got a great GPA, but they never missed a day of school and they volunteered for everything. Boy, that's insane.
Summer jobs are no longer the rite of passage they used to be for American teenagers. While the U.S. unemployment rate hit a record low of 4.3% last month, the rate for teens has more than tripled at 14.3%. But a lack of jobs is not necessarily the problem here. A Career Builder survey found that 41% of employers were planning to hire seasonal workers.
So there's plenty of jobs, but kids aren't doing it anymore. And it's pretty simplistic. They look at jobs as more of a nuisance. When I was younger, I couldn't wait to get my first paycheck. It was a rite of passage. Awesome. These $87, this $115, this was mine. I was paying for my car insurance. I was growing up. Now it's nothing like that because kids finish with school, and what do?
And one of the main reasons is more teens are in school during the summer. And it's become more rigorous, as we all know. I mean, you guys are parents of teenagers. I was recently part of that system. Kids have to do summer school, and they have to take augmented classes. They're having a rigorous course load during the year, and then the school year has gotten longer, and the school day has gotten longer.
They don't have to do summer school. They don't. Well, it's competitive. You don't have to. This hyper-focus on getting kids into the right college. Look, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, especially in something like law or certain situational, you know, engineering, MIT, things like if there are certain things like that, yes, you know what? Absolutely, I understand that. But for most kids out there, 90% of them, 95% of them, life experience is going to go a lot further. Being a lifeguard, being all of the, being whatever it is, right? We can all remember our first jobs. All of us remember our first jobs. All of us remember getting that first paycheck, opening up our first account, having our own first money, being able to go out on our own first date or hang out with a friend. All of us remember that. That was part of growing up. And I look at it and I look at the way that we're robbing some of our kids of that experience. I like the fact that they want to push themselves to a certain extent, but at the same time, I think what we're doing is we're robbing them of growing up in a certain way. And that's not good either. There can be a healthy balance. And the fact that you have to have a resume this big to get into some of these places, that's insane.
It's not really making a dent in people saving up for college. So I think parents, like you say, are encouraging them to do extracurriculars, do volunteer activity, because that better augments your resume.
That's your resume. That's your resume. What have you done? I remember my friend's, my goddaughter, she goes to UCLA. But when she was applying everywhere, she, you know, it was all of these things that you used, you know, that she had. All of these extracurricular, all of these volunteering, all of, like, I would go to junior college, right? Save mom and dad's money. Save your ass a boatload of money. Go to junior college. Do it sparingly. Get a part-time job. Find out what life is like. Right? Before you go and spend 200 grand to find out you're going to have to go back in a few years to the University of Phoenix so you can get something you want to do. But they push, push, push. They push, push, push. And I'm all about competition, but I'm also about understanding that you need to allow people to have their own personalities and learn. And it's, some of it is just incredible. All of you out there listening right now, you guys can remember your first job. And what was your first job? What'd you do? Right? Were you a ticket taker at the movies? Were you, you know, did you sell, like, you know, a lot of people out there, they worked at the baseball, you know, and they sold programs. What was your first gig? 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Body shaming. I don't think it's body shaming. I'm going to tell you that right now. Hollywood's calling it body shaming. People in Hollywood are calling it body shaming. I'm going to say no. Chad Benson Show.
Fresh, farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Body shaming. It's everywhere. Right? Women, you guys are the worst. And I'm not saying that about your bodies. I'm saying towards each other. You guys, really, you go after each other like nobody's business. Whether it's the outfits or any of that stuff. I mean, you guys do. You go after each other. So let's not pretend it doesn't happen, because it does. And body shaming is everywhere. Now you've got men in Hollywood saying, well, you know, it's happening to me too. It's not as bad as women, but it's happening to me. Sam Claflin, all right, who was in The Hunger Games, Me Before You, says he feels insecure. Says, I remember doing one job and they literally made me pull up my shirt and grabbing my fat going, you need to lose a bit of weight. He said, I felt like I was a piece of meat. Because you are a piece of meat. This is your job, right? Your job is to look pretty. That's your job. I know it sounds horrible, but it's a matter-of-fact situation and a matter-of-fact business. Your job is to look great. We live in a beautiful world. We're beautiful people, get away with a lot of stuff, and we like to look at beautiful people. Guess what? We like looking at beautiful people. And your job as an actor, because you don't have the chops that De Niro has, that Daniel Day-Lewis has, right? That Jared Leto has. That McConaughey has. He got a. Remember that? Remember what he did? The weight he lost for Dallas Buyers Club? How about that? How about Christian Bale in The Machinist? Right? You don't have the chops. Now, are there ugly people that act? Yes. They usually are very good, and they're called character actors. Right? Steve Buscemi could scare the blind. Character actor. You know what he's got? Chops. He's got talent. There are those. But your job, Sam, like a lot of other people out there, is to be eye candy. Could you imagine watching the movie The 300, what they really looked like compared to what the movie was, right? Gerard Butler, you know, all of these guys with their six-pack painted on abs. When real life, they didn't look like that. There may have been one or two, but most of them were probably big, burly dudes. But your job is to look pretty. You are a piece of meat. You're a product. Somebody's giving you hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to look pretty. Sorry you feel like a piece of meat, but you also benefit from the fact that you're pretty. So deal with it. I'm amazed. I want to be a piece of meat. I do. I've said it over and over again. If I was Cristiano Ronaldo, the greatest soccer player maybe of all time and a heartthrob, I would just say, paint my number on my back. I'm not even going to wear a shirt. Paint my number on my back. There's no reason. Shirts were made for fluffy people. I'm not that. My God. I felt like a piece of meat. Oh, shut up. Sweet Jiminy Cricket. It's amazing, isn't it? 844-DIG-CHAD. That's the number you always need to know. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. People texting in about the jobs and the kids. Talking about, you know, God, some of these kids are so competitive. Some saying, you know, kids don't have work ethics anymore. That's true. But you know what? There's a lot of kids. They're done with school and they start school again. Even now, my son, he's going to be in a few camps. They're camps. They're having fun, but it's all educational. When I was a kid, man, I went to camp. What, soccer camp, right? I went to all kinds. This is all educational. This is coding. This is science. This is and while there'll be fun, he's got a marine class where he's going to go out into the ocean and stuff. And they work in the Marines down in San Diego and their marinas and stuff. It'll be neat. But I'm telling you right now, it's also educational. And its focus first is education and learning stuff. Man, when I was a kid, it was, you know, I went to soccer camp for like a month. That's what I did. There was no education there except soccer education, right? This is like they're going to do experiments and they're learning. Coding is not even, I mean, that, I don't know about you, producer Phil's doing coding. It just seems a little, you know, a bit much. But it's not just I'm going to summer school. They're going to learn a lot of different things. But I think, yes, a work ethic that can be passed along, being able to be counted upon, understanding what life is like when you get out there. It's more than just earning a paycheck. It's part of doing something that is vitally important in society. Solid fun show as always. You can text the program 323-538-2423. We're one day closer to James Comey doing what James Comey is going to do, even though we already know, according to everybody, what he's going to do. But it'll still be interesting. Not. Have yourself a solid rest of your day. We got you over the Tostada Tuesday. We'll get you over the hump tomorrow. For Anthony, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.